Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
So at our last meeting, I presented my opposition to the city funding the program, not to the spirit of the program and not to the reason to help children. Think as individuals, as small businesses, as churches, we all have the ability to contribute to programs like this. But I don't believe it's the role of city government to participate in a charity like this.
Yeah, so this is City Council in Marilyn Farrow in the city of Milton, the great city of Milton, at the City Council meeting. This is the second of the three meetings where they're going to consider this question of the DUO program, the Do Unto Others program that was brought forward by Linda Sanborn from the school board. And the idea of that program is to put a $1,000, basically a debit card, or a gift card or whatever, in the hands of every principal at every school in Santa Rosa County. And that way they can react to the immediate needs of the, you know, underprivileged kids who might come to them and, you know, can't afford $25 for going to a field trip or, you know, and clothes we sometimes think about, but there's a lot of clothing charities. But, you know, just minor little things that the bus driver might notice or that a teacher might notice. And instead of having to dig into their own pocket, as is very common, they would be able to come to the principal and say, hey, let's take care of this for them. So the city of Milton had said, we're in. And in the beginning, Marilyn Farrow had kind of said, I just don't think that we should be doing something like this. Now, she says she supports charities on her own and she believes charity's great, but she doesn't want the city to be kicking $5,000 into a fund to help the Milton kids in the five schools that are in the city limits of Milton. So she had voted yes before, but that was just to advance it. And so now she's, you know, continuing to pitch opposition to this. The other members of city council, Heather Lindsay is the mayor. She doesn't get to vote unless there's a tie.
We all know, I think every one of us know, that teachers dig into their pockets and spend their personal dollars many, many days during the school year and in preparation for their school year. And so it was my understanding that this program would be in support of our hardworking teachers.
Yeah, and this is something that we can do. It's not that much money. And again, if teachers are spending out of their own pockets, why can't we help a little bit, especially given that,
as some of y'all may know, Santa Rosa County is one of the least funded counties in the state of Florida, but we are one of the highest performing counties as far as outcomes with our kids. Our teachers do a fantastic job. And I see it as a way of supporting our teachers and also recognizing that in Milton, we have a higher poverty rate as compared to the county overall. So Milton has needs that are distinct and greater than what you might see overall in the county.
Yeah, and again, these are kids in the city of Milton where they have extra needs. And she says, look, this is a good program. Let's go ahead and do it. Even though, again, she doesn't get a vote unless the city council deadlocks otherwise. Roxanne Mies.
I agree this is a good thing, but I'm in hopes that the funds will be used more for the poor child who can't go on the field trip with their friends or maybe can't afford a library book. That type of thing versus clothing, because clothing, it can be gone in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and that's fair. You know, we want to see the money used as effectively as possible. And what's going to happen is the basic advantage here is that if a principal wants to buy something, you know, that they don't have to come to the school board for permission in this long process. They basically come to them afterwards and say, here's what we spent the money on. And if they think the job isn't being done properly, then they don't give them a card again the next time, or they don't go out and fund it again the next time. Jeff Snow, city councilman.
I think this need can be dealt with immediately. It doesn't have to go through other hoops or go on the volunteers. Also, these are the parents do pay taxes in this city, and we're looking out for the kids within the city. We're not going to schools outside of the city limits. This is a small gesture that we can help.
Casey Powell, who is a child of an educator.
You know, being a child of an educator, I definitely, this kind of pulls on the heartstrings in a different way. Knowing the sacrifices that a lot of our teachers make to try to make lives better for the children that they're trying to educate.
And says, look, I understand the objections to this program that people are raising on a sort of a philosophical basis that government should not be in the business of helping, you know, doing charitable work or whatever, but this is a one-year thing.
I would definitely not think that this is something that we would be doing ongoing year after year. being the first year of the program, I am in support of this donation.
First year starting up, we're going to put, you know, $5,000 in the first year, and then we probably won't do anything thereafter, but let's do it. Come on, Jason Vance.
I'm going to continue to support this also. This is an immediate resource that the teachers can go to the principal and get this card and pay for some things that are in need.
Yeah, because you don't realize, like, for example, you know, if you're starting school sports in middle school and, you know, there are some pretty awful stories about the conditions that kids live in. You can't expect them to show up with all their gear.
We're starting sports this year in middle school, so they may need cleats, proper equipment to use out there so they don't get hurt. You know, then the book fair, again, you know, being able to buy a book with the other kids, you know, and buying a book. So I'm going to continue to support this.
Yeah, again, that's kind of been the attitude of all the other city council members. The one who had been a little bit on the fence had been Mike Cusack, which is not a surprise because this is going to be a city council where you see a lot of 6-2 votes. You're going to see a lot of votes where it's going to be Marilyn Farrow and Mike Cusack on the nay side, and then the other six are going to be on the plus side. Just that's how it's shaping up. And now that we've kind of gotten a sense of who they are, I'll share their views here in just a second. Let's get Candy in here with traffic on the fives.
Taking a look around Milton, we're not showing any slowdowns on 90. It looks like everything is running fine in that area. Taking a look over at Berry Hill, Shemukla Highway, Woodbine, all clear. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. So back to the Milton City Council following up on this DUO program, the Do Unto Others program for the kids in the schools. Mike Cusack, who is, you know, easily one of the two, like, sort of, you know, anti-angry no votes. I mean, not always angry, but just, you know, has been oftentimes. And Marilyn Farrow, they seem to be kind of voting as a block these days. He'd been a yes in the first meeting and then yesterday or in the last week's meeting.
Well, I understand the concerns of the citizens that were setting a precedent here. I'm all for kids, and I think kids should have what they need. However, I think out there in the community, in the business community, I think there shouldn't be a whole lot of issue greater than $38,000 in this county for the schools.
And he's probably right. I mean, you can probably find the money, but the point of the government in this case, a very small amount of money saying, yes, this is good, is to kind of, whether you call it priming the pump or show good faith or, you know, given all the other things that government spends money on, you know, parades and parties and just, you know, stuff that you wouldn't think is nearly as significant as being able to help kids be able to afford to go on field trips or have cleats or, you know, right, have a new pair of shoes or not even a new pair of shoes, but just not an ancient, ill-fitting pair of dad's boots, you know, that kind of thing. So they called the roll.
Councilman Snow's motion is to approve $1,000 per school for the five Milton schools for a total donation of $5,000. And Councilwoman Meese is seconding that motion. All right, the votes are Councilwoman Meese, aye. Councilman Powell, aye. Councilman Farrow, nay. Councilman Snow, aye. Councilman Vance, aye. And Councilman Cusack, nay. Did I get it right, guys? Because I'm doing it from memory now.
Yeah, that was right.
Okay, thank you.
So Councilman Jarrett, Matt Jarrett, who's almost never at the city council meetings, the bare minimum to not get kicked off council, he wasn't there. And Gavin Hawthorne was also not there. I don't know why. But the other, it was 4-2. Okay, so the nays were, again, Mike Cusack and Marilyn Farrow, who I think you're going to see a lot of two kind of votes on this city council as things shake up. They're going to have this vote again tonight. It's the actual final vote. That was just to push it forward. So tonight's city council meeting, they're going to decide whether or not to follow through on this $5,000 commitment for the kids through the Do Unto Others program. 619, and again, just kind of quick background on this is that, you know, Roxanne Meese is of a political persuasion that is very hostile to Linda Sanborn. And so it's not just about the program and the philosophy undergirding it. It's a kind of a, you know, me versus her sort of thing. At least that's how I read it. All right. 619 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you've got an import, you pay good money to get it, a Beamer, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a Genesis, a Jaguar, a Lexus. You then might think, well, I've got to go to the dealership to take care of that car. You don't. You don't. And if the dealership is across the water, that means time, money getting there, more money paying at the dealership. You can take care of that stuff at Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway. They work on those cars all the time. No problem. Diesel engines, they work on those all the time. No problem. Any other car, they work on them. I mean, like all the cars, they work on them. I drove past here the other day, and a ton of cars outside. They're working on them cars. And the idea there is they want to see you for the preventative stuff. Like, I mean, yes, you can bring it to them when it's broken, but it's a lot cheaper and more convenient if you bring it to them routinely when it's not broken, and then they can prevent it from being broken. Like, that's the goal, right? Like a doctor's clinic for your car. CarClinicService.com is the website. Carfax 2021 top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. New South Window knows how unpredictable coastal weather can be. And that's why our windows and doors are designed to take on severe hurricanes and the most intense heat. They're built and installed by us, meaning better value and a lifetime guarantee for you. Give your family security that lasts a lifetime. And get New South proud.
Buy two of our products and get the third free. Visit NewSouthWindow.com.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Astronauts will be rocking the Gulfside Pavilion at Bands on the Beach with their high-energy party tunes from the 80s, 90s, and beyond. Dance the night away at Pensacola Beach with Bands on the Beach. Remember, no pets and no glass.
Hey, this is Andrew McKay, and it's hurricane season, and we are ready with informative, local, and dependable coverage. Our Storm Experience News team will be here for you with breaking information, including reports from both the Escambia and Santa Rosa County Emergency Operations Centers, live press conferences and interviews with officials, and comprehensive and accurate coverage, along with our TV partners at WEAR Channel 3. We'll help you through the storm. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
A place to stay informed about what's happening locally and find a deep sense of belonging and community. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Against President Trump is not only factually unsound and legally unreasonable, it is explicit election interference. And I think everybody knows that if Donald Trump wasn't running for president again, and if he wasn't winning, this wouldn't be happening.
I'm not sure everybody knows that, but I do know a lot of people believe that to be the case. Of course, this is Matt Gaetz talking the other day up in Jay when he came and talked about the issues surrounding the indictment. That wasn't the main part of the speech. It actually had a lot of really interesting stuff in that speech. I'm only about halfway through it, but a lot of it was very interesting. Probably won't get to it today, but I will over the next couple of days.
Joe Biden has had classified records in his house since 1974. I wasn't even born. I wasn't even a twinkle in my daddy's eye.
I'm just trying to imagine a twinkle in Don Gates' eye. 437-1620. He actually does. He's kind of a twinkler. I don't mean that as an insult. Anyway, this issue of whether it's politically motivated, whether it's election interference. Of course, the expectation today is Donald Trump is going to be arraigned in court and he's going to make a plea, and we assume he's going to plead not guilty. What's interesting about this is, I guess I want to establish some baseline. Which is, if somebody is a candidate for office and the prosecutor, whatever the jurisdiction is, believes that they have committed a crime, okay? Should they go ahead with the indictment when the election is still pending, or should they wait until after the election to follow through with the indictment? Just in general, on general principles, okay? Because it seems to me as a voter, if our state attorney knows that one of our county commissioners did a crime, I want them to prosecute that crime regardless of whether there's an election. Almost weirdly, because there's an election coming. You know what I mean? Like, as a voter, if somebody committed a crime, I'd like to have that information before the election. or... if they didn't commit the crime, I'd like to have that information before the election. I'd like to know guilty, not guilty. I'd like to know what the verdict is. And so the notion, I kind of underlying this argument that this is political, which, listen, it may well be. I understand. I'm just, sometimes what I like to do is step away from the fact of the moment and sort of look at the, what's the landscape of this argument, right? And the landscape in this case to me is you want politicians and political candidates to be investigated. Now, you don't want them investigated because they're candidates, but you do want the disposition of allegations against them if they are candidates, because that's whether you would know whether to vote for them or not. And kind of there's sort of this idea here that, well, maybe there's crimes, but the crimes aren't so bad and everybody does these crimes. Or there's crimes, but you shouldn't prosecute somebody because they're a candidate for president. Baloney. Like, you know, I know that's usually predicated on people saying, well, the crimes aren't serious or he didn't commit them. Okay, I get that. But surely I hope you would agree that if President Trump or anyone else who is a candidate for office actually did a crime, that you would want them prosecuted regardless of the election. Because what's the alternative, that you should not prosecute candidates? Well, that's not a tenable position to take in a rule of law nation. Anyway, just, again, that doesn't settle the argument of this particular set of charges, but don't put yourself in the position of making the argument that candidates can't be charged with crimes because they're candidates and that's election interference. Well, no, that's just doing the job. Unless you have other reasons to prove that it's election interference. 626 on News Radio 92.3. I'll get David here in just a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And not showing any slowdowns or delays at this time. It looks like everything's running smoothly. All exits off I-10, I-110 reporting as clear. Mentioned 90 in Milton was clear. Savannah's clear too in Pensacola through the curve on Scenic. Summit Boulevard also not showing any accidents or delays. If you have traffic tips, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, all eyes are on Miami today, and their mayor says the city's ready for whatever happens as former President Trump arrives at the federal courthouse there for his arraignment.
In our city, we obviously believe in the Constitution and believe that people should have the right to express themselves, but we also believe in law and order.
And that's Francis Suarez, Miami mayor there. He says the city's used to handling large crowds. They're expecting up to 50,000 people today gathering outside of the federal courthouse. Trump is expected to be fingerprinted and have a mugshot taken. Then he'll fly back to New Jersey, give remarks, and host a campaign fundraiser tonight. Police in Denver say 9 people are injured after a shooting this morning. A suspect in custody was also shot. 3 of the victims there reportedly in critical condition. And that happened about a mile from the Ball Arena, where the Nuggets beat the Miami Heat for the NBA championship. And a woman recovering after waking up inside a coffin at her own funeral. This one happened in Ecuador. Mourners were saying goodbye to 76-year-old Bella Montoya. She had died from been declared dead from a respiratory arrest. Apparently, the diagnosis was premature, as during the funeral, she started banging on the inside of the coffin.
No,
you hear about this every now and then. Just, I can't even imagine.
Horrible thing to imagine. All right, David, thanks so much.
So she wasn't embalmed?
No, I guess not. Not really. Or not well. I mean, you know.
I guess not.
If they're still wiggling and yelling after there embalming, is. You probably didn't do it right.
Bring out your dead. I'm not dead.
Almost dead. David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, on this business of delaying the trial or the indictment because somebody's a political candidate, a friend texted and said, you've read the Sixth Amendment, though, right? You know, the Sixth Amendment, the guarantee that criminal defendants have the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of their peers. Because if you delay it for the election, right, you know, that would be how long to delay it. And again, I know that the claim by Trump defenders is that this whole thing is being done because of the election, right? That it is deliberate election. And I understand. I'm just, again, you create credibility for yourself if you can set up a situation where I'd be willing to be against this guy if dot, 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 dot. But it sounds an awful lot like what people are saying is there's nothing you can ever do to convince me that I could be against this guy for any reason whatsoever, which means that you're not a reasonable arbiter of the information one way or the other. And all we should really say is, well, you're just on his side, period. And so all the arguments you give don't really matter. Arguments are only meaningful when the person using them is capable of being persuaded by arguments and evidence and shifting paradigms and understanding what is the nature of the argument. Where are we on this scale? So anyway, sorry for the logic lesson. Every once in a while, I can't help myself. 629 on News Radio 92.3. Oh, this Reddit thing is wild. Are they still on private settings? Because
for another day.
Yeah. Okay. So the short version of this is Reddit says that all these separate apps that people make money off of require an immense amount of information processing, which they have to provide and or pay the cost of providing, like millions of dollars worth of costs. And they're saying these app providers are profiting off of costs that they've externalized to us. We just wanted to share that. That's a lot of money at stake for one way or the other. I can understand why the app folks are angry, and I can understand why Reddit is trying to get back some of its money. But in the meanwhile, Reddit's a little harder to access.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. This afternoon in Miami, former President Trump's being placed under arrest by federal marshals and charged with federal crimes related to classified documents kept at his Florida residence.
Former President Trump will make a 3 p.m. Eastern time appearance inside the Wilkie D. Ferguson Federal Courthouse in Miami. He's expected to stand before a magistrate judge and enter a plea of not guilty to all 37 charges against him in the grand jury indictment.
Fox's Evan Brown. At least 10 Ukrainians are reported killed in a Russian missile strike.
The deadly attack also injured several dozen civilians when missiles hit a five-story residential building in Kryvyi Rih. Rescue work is going on to get people out of the rubble. President Zelensky posted images from the scene on his Telegram social media channel. More terrorist missiles, he wrote.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. The actor Treat Williams is killed in the motorcycle crash in Vermont. He was 71. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, partly cloudy skies. It's 74 in Pensacola. Pensacola police say they are still looking for whoever's responsible for a shooting early Sunday morning in downtown Pensacola. A male victim was shot several times in a parking lot near Jefferson and Government Streets.
Expected to survive but has serious injuries. Detectives are actively working this investigation. And anyone with information on this shooting, whether it's information on who did it, or if you happen to have cell phone video or anything like that, please contact Detective Turney at 850-435-1975.
Deputy Chief Kevin Christman there says the shooting appears to be related to a disturbance involving a large group of people. Could cost you more to park at the Pensacola International Airport soon. When they meet this week, the Pensacola City Council will consider a plan that calls for a $2 increase to the daily maximum rate at the garage and surface lots, $1 increase at economy lots.
We have not had any functional expansion of our terminal in about 12, 13 years. We are taking 1 million more passengers a year than we did 12, 13 years ago.
And that is Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves. He says it's just about revenue, and while he doesn't enjoy raising the rates, it doesn't mean it's not necessary. Now, if that increase is approved by the city council, that change would go into effect on July 1st. And also July 1st, we're starting to learn a little bit more about yesterday morning's home invasion on Majors Road. We're hearing from the alleged victim of that says five masked men with guns allegedly broke into his home and demanded money yesterday.
I thought they'd fix to kill me and my wife. I think if I'd have maybe pulled out a gun or act defense, I think they'd have killed me. I feel like somebody that knows me real close planned this here and had them to do it.
And he reportedly said he did not have any money when they broke in and was pistol whipped. Sheriff Chip Simmons says it wasn't a random act. He says his deputies are now working to find the people responsible, and they're asking anybody with information to contact the Escambia Sheriff's Office or to call Crime Stoppers. FDOT now starting on the design phase of their planned widening of Highway 90 that's going to go through downtown Milton. When it meets today, the Milton City Council will be asked to approve a series of recommendations that they, along with residents and city staff, have been compiling for FDOT to consider. According to the News Journal, if that is approved, the package will be forwarded, along with a cover letter, to FDOT. FDOT spokesman Ian Satter says any documentation they provide will be closely considered. It is 6:34, News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Traffic on the Fives with Candy.
Sorry. Sometimes I do hit my face with the headphones by mistake. Kind of hate these headphones. As we take a look around, you should see Mayor Wiggins do it. As we take a look around, good news is we're not showing any of those slowdowns or delays. Davis Highway clear, not showing any problems, it looks like. Taking a look off exits I-10, I-110, not showing any issues there, and it looks like Fairfield also clear this morning. If you have traffic tips, text them in, 437-1620. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We are going to be seeing a chance of some afternoon showers and thunderstorms today. 40% chance of rain overall, high near 90 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 77. For Wednesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 90 degrees. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 75. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
74, partly cloudy right now in Pensacola. 73 in Gulf Breeze and 71 in Milton. Your next news at 7, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kuschenko with Your Money Now. Penguin Random House is withdrawing a new novel by Eat, Pray, Love author Elizabeth Gilbert at her request. After some of her fans objected that it was set in Russia, Gilbert said in a video she posted on Twitter she wouldn't publish the new book, The Snow Forest. After receiving objections from fans, the author said she received an enormous, massive outpouring of reactions and responses from Ukrainian readers expressing anger, sorrow, disappointment, and pain about her plans to release a book set in Russia. Shares of Oracle Corporation are up 4% in pre-market trading after the IT and cloud infrastructure provider reported quarterly results that topped expectations, helped by a jump in cloud revenue that executives said positioned the company well for an increasingly AI-dominant future. On Wall Street, futures are higher after stocks posted strong gains yesterday. The Dow Industrials added 189. And that's Your Money Now.
The Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks made it easy to put a smile on Dad's face. Use promo code QUALITY at checkout at omahasteaks.com and get $30 off your qualifying order. Choose from mouth-watering packages like fork tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, burgers, jumbo franks, and more. Plus, most gift packages come with four delicious caramel apple tartlets. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use code QUALITY at checkout for $30 off. That's omahasteaks.com. Code QUALITY at checkout. Minimum order is required. See site for details. The Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks made it easy to put a smile on Dad's face. Use promo code QUALITY at checkout at omahasteaks.com and get $30 off your qualifying order. Choose from mouth-watering packages like fork tender bacon-wrapped filet mignons, air-chilled boneless chicken breasts, burgers, jumbo franks, and more. Plus, most gift packages come with four delicious caramel apple tartlets. Go to omahasteaks.com. Use code QUALITY at checkout for $30 off. That's omahasteaks.com. Code QUALITY at checkout. Minimum order is required. See site for details.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, Spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959 or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
Are you looking for the best news and talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Yeah, Spider-Man and Freeze in full effect.
You ready, Ron?
I'm ready.
You ready, Dave?
I'm ready, Slick. Are you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I think everyone wants Bill News. So he wrote ahead for us without us game beginning. I think we're okay to go ahead with that, but I'm gonna have a rougher time with that because it's not in the DNA for us to go against other counties or sue other counties. And whether we're suing them directly or indirectly funding it, it's harder sell.
All right, so backdrop. This is Craig Coffey. He is the chair, I guess chair is the right term, of the District 1 Medical Examiner's Board. That is the four-county board that tries to get together and oversee the operation of the District 1 Medical Examiner, who is an employee of the group, okay? And so he's saying, look, you know, this is all about the facility, and this is all about if Escambia doesn't want to come along and fund it. And if they want to, you know, if Escambia County wants to hold its own marbles and, you know, work out a Sacred Heart, and then what happens? Well, the then what is we sue them. So you might have a lawsuit from basically the District 1 Medical Board, Medical Examiner's Board, which is Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton in this case, suing Escambia County to make them pay for funding an agency that, you know, under state statute, they're supposed to fund. And he's like, well, we don't really want to sue them, but that's kind of where we're at because the alternative is if we don't sue them, then the cost of the facility is what it is. And if we have 53% of the autopsies in these other three counties, that means that the price per autopsy doubles if Escambia doesn't play along.
If we don't sue or bring them on board, then we're saying to our taxpayers, we're going to pay double, not double, but you know what I'm saying? We're all going to pay double because we're too scared to sue Escambia County. We don't want to. Or we're going to say, no, we aren't too scared. And then we're going to. We don't want bad blood between us.
So 50 per autopsy if Escambia County participates, 1,600 per autopsy if Escambia County does not participate. So that's the and what do we do now conversation. And they're trying to figure out, you know, how can we get Escambia County to stop being problematic? I will say it very gently, problematic. The big issues here have to do with, you know, how much space do they have to handle the bodies? Is the space secure? And the answer is right now, no and no. And the space is a mess. And we've talked about this before. But you still have this argument by the Escambia County Commission that they're trying to keep a facility here in Escambia County and create a two-facility operation. And Robert Bender, who is not the official representative to the DOMS board, it's Eric Gilmore, the director of public safety, but Robert went because he figured, look, I need to be a part of this and see if we can't move the ball a little bit. And in the process, just got into a big fighting match with Dan Shebler, the operations manager, and Dan Oleski, the medical examiner, because he's representing a board that has taken what I consider to be an unreasonable position. We've always had it in Escambia County. Why can't we keep it in Escambia County? Well, because that, you know, you've enjoyed the benefit of that for a long time, but there's not really a benefit to it. There's not really an advantage to having a two-facility operation, and there's no real advantage to having it in Escambia County. But he's got Stephen Berry and Jeff Bergosh and Lumen May, who are voting at least three, and including him to a degree, to try to keep it that way. And, of course, we know the backdrop with all of the letters and the what I consider to be defamatory letters and Stephen Berry's kind of concocting of these letters along with Jeff Bergosh then publishing them and this whole story to discredit Deanna Oleski because she had the audacity to bring her employees down and complain to them at their board meeting, hey, get your butts in gear and get this fixed. You're messing up my operation, making it hard for me to do my job that you're statutorily obligated to do. Okay, that's backdrop. Okay, backdrop. So the DOMS board meeting last week, they're having this conversation about two facilities versus one. About half of the autopsies currently come from Escambia, a little less, like 47%. And Bender's argument is, you're supposed to have like five teams and five doctors. Why can't you just task one or two of those teams to be at the Sacred Heart facility, and then the other three or four can operate out of the new facility, and then everybody's happy?
If Escambia is 47% of the workload, and you're going to have how many teams of doctors and things like that? I mean, how many teams of doctors? handle the entire 100%.
Well, it takes five.
It takes five. So 47% stays at Sacred, and it's not even going to be 47. It's going to be some lower amount. As I said, I know the full autopsies and everything that's still going to be going on the new facility. So either, as I said, just one team working a full load at Sacred, or if it's two, which would be 40% roughly, and that's where the discussion is that, I mean, how can you not keep one team busy? Where's the inefficiencies?
Come watch me work. No. I'll show it to you. I'll show you the inefficiencies.
Right. My dad was a doctor, okay? So he would go to a satellite office and they'd pay him to go up there and he does the case. But that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if
there's not enough doctors. You see the problem? There are not enough doctors. There are not enough forensic pathologists. And by the way, trying to recruit one now, real hard.
Right.
So
So how am I going to staff two sites when I don't have the docs?
But
I need a doctor to do the autopsy.
We've got five doctors in the budget.
Correct.
We have two doctors here.
And I understand that. Okay, so there would be some times where things don't work. But if you're fully staffed, you can't have one staff that's operating out of Sacred Heart each day of the week.
It is an absurd request.
That is an absurd request. And the point there is, first of all, we don't have five doctors. We have two and one more coming on board soon. And hopefully on an H-1B visa from Canada through his doctor in Poland or something. Anyway, he's coming in next month. But what she's saying is, come watch me work. You think this is simple and makes sense because your daddy was a doctor. You know, like it's just, you know, well, I knew a guy who owned a restaurant one time. Does that qualify you to run like an international chain of restaurants? Like that's kind of the comparison here. And I think Robert Bender is generally a very reasonable guy. I think he usually tries to have the best of the situation. He's trying to make this work. But this is a case where the experts keep telling you this doesn't work. Stop trying to make your picture of this two-facility operation make sense. That's not going to make sense. We'll come back to this in a second. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
And again, if I just may say, I used to kind of do this work because that's what I wanted to go into. And oh my God, like we were both there together. Like I've seen it too, like one-on-one and two-on and not, you know, 35.
Right, exactly.
You know what I mean? So this brought to you by Fresh from Florida. Local farmers want to let you know, change the topic, Florida watermelons in season right now. Learn more. Follow freshfromflorida.com for the Florida Department of Agriculture. 9 Mile, not showing any delays. Pine Forest clear, should have a pretty easy way. Get the Navy Fed if that's where you're heading this morning. Traffic tips, text them in 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
All right, so back to this conversation between Deanna Oleski, that's the female voice you're hearing. Dan Schebler once in a while steps in and you know Robert Bender's voice about, for example, some of the inefficiencies that would be created by having a two-facility operation, even with one or two doctors.
Listen,
so I got to duplicate a load ox. I got to have extra equipment. I have to have everything in two different places. I got to take the tox back to the other side. Then I got to figure out where I'm going to put my evidence that the law enforcement can come pick up. They don't know where to go. Oh, is it Sacred? I don't know where the evidence is. Did I bring it back with me? Or am I transporting it back in my vehicle?
I thought all those cases would go to your new facility.
He's talking about all the Scambia
County cases. I've never seen 47%
of all.
I know. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying, so what of the 47%, how much are, that's what
it
I'm
is,
saying.
It is cheaper to for you to pay for them to go back to Escambia County than to run a separate team.
It's going to cost you.
Again, I'm representing my board here, okay?
I'm going to be a fiscal conservative for you.
So I understand that.
Yeah, what she at one point proposed is, well, if it's so important for you to have these bodies located at the terminal, you know, at Santa Rosa or at Sacred Heart, how about you just pay a transport fee? Or pay somebody to bring them back, you know, when they're needed to be. It'd be like $35,000 a year versus $700,000 a year to actually operate a second facility. You know, why not do that? Well, because, again, it's, I think, particularly for Stephen Barry at this point, it's a pissing contest, and he just wants to make sure that he wins. Why he's so attached to the Sacred Heart solution, I don't know, but he is.
Okay, if 10 bodies came in Escambia County last night, could the doctor, whoever's got that week, they got the Sacred Heart. Could they show up there and the tech show up there? They do whatever autopsies are there. These aren't the big ones. These are not the ones that you need for criminology. And
you're supposed to know that.
Well, I've
people that come in with ligature furrows, they're drug overdoses. Well, that's a homicide.
but it came in as an overdose.
But I don't have a low dox there because we moved the low dox.
Okay, I got to translate a little bit here. But what they're saying, what Craig Coffey is saying, and what Robert Bender is trying to say is, well, you can do like the easy autopsies at Sacred Heart and you can do the hard autopsies at Avalon. And she's like, how do I know that when they come in? Well, in order to know that, you've got to look at them. You've got to do the low dox x-ray. That's the quick x-ray, which means that now you got to have two of those machines. They're very expensive machines. You got to have a team to do that intake and separation. That's got to be doctors. You've got to have photographers. You've got, I mean, like, you can't know just first glance which kind of autopsy it's even going to be. That's the point. That's why you have it all in one place, so that you have all the resources necessary to handle whatever you discover in the course of intaking that body.
Oh, wait, now I got to do this tomorrow? Okay, so then now the family's pissed at me because now I have to take them out of the cooler and transport them over there. And the funeral home's like, but we were supposed to have services today. And I get yelled at.
Because it's a delay in, well, we got them here, and now we got to move them there. And where did they get moved to, and where are they now? We have trouble finding them now, let alone if we got two different facilities. And I think Dan Schebler kind of summarized this the best.
There are costs to it, and I haven't yet heard what's the benefit.
Okay.
Of any kind.
Yeah, exactly. There are major inefficiencies, costs, chain of custody for bodies, evidence, even allegations of sometimes theft of valuables and things on bodies because of multiple people sharing access to this cooler in Sacred Heart. All of this for what benefit? Like, to keep that separate facility open? It's going to take like $4 million to refurbish that facility so that then what? Sacred Heart has a better facility? How does that serve District 1 Medical Examiner's Office? Now, Bender's argument is, well, we have more capacity if we do a smaller facility on Avalon and we do Sacred Heart, then we can spend a bunch of money on two facilities, and we can have two facilities. That's a lot. And they're trying to make the point that, no, the inefficiency outweighs that. And this is the one. This is like when I was listening to this two-hour meeting the other day, this was the one piece that stood out for me. Okay, I told you that Mike Kohler, the District 2 Escambia County Commissioner, he's an expert in this area. He says it's crazy to operate two sites. You know, Deanna Oleski and Dan Schultz, it's crazy to operate two sites. The other three counties get that it's crazy to operate two sites. Russell McElroy, who is the architect who has built over 160 of these around the country, like, he's the guy for doing this.
Dan, it's always the goal of a facility, if they are divided like that, to try to come back together into a single facility. The inefficiencies of being in separate places, even like you are now with your autopsy in one place and your office in another, it is almost always the case across all 50 states where we've done these, where they're trying to bring them back into a single facility.
It doesn't make sense to do it this way. Listen to the experts and get off your, you know, hurt perch. And the other thing is, quite frankly, Escambia is used to being kind of the big dog in this stuff, and they're used to having their way, and they're used to having it here in Escambia County. And they feel like, well, what's in it for us? Robert Bender actually said, well, what's in it for us if it moves? What's in it for you is that's the solution that makes sense. And the only reason that you can't do it that way is because our commissioners, three of them, are too stubborn or bullheaded or dumb to see it, because they just want to have their way. 437-1620. So again, we're either headed to Escambia changes its mind and we do the right thing, build it on Avalon, or they're not going to play and then we're building two facilities. Maybe we're trying to hire a different medical examiner in the process for at least Escambia County. You know, maybe there's a lawsuit because the other three counties are going to sue Escambia if all that happens and they don't participate in the funding. This is a hot mess unless, again, Stephen Berry and Jeff Bergosh and Lumen May wake up and realize, you know, they need to repent. I mean, I don't know how else to tell it to you. That's kind of the way it goes. 437-1620, 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay.
When was the last time you experienced something new? Really new. Like driving an electric vehicle that will change how you think about EVs. Test drive the 2023 Volkswagen ID.4 EV at Beadmore Imports and see the smooth aerodynamic design that is so modern and sleek. You'll think you've driven into the future, and the quiet and powerful ride it delivers needs to be experienced to be believed. So stop by Beadmore Imports to experience something new like never before. And Beadmore Imports fills out their lineup of SUVs and crossovers with the 2023 Taos S, now from $24,999. The Tiguan S from $27,999. And the VW Atlas Cross Sport SE with technology from $39,999. And with finance rates as low as 1.9% available on the Tiguan and Taos, there's something new for every driver at Beadmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Beadmore Imports, New Warrington Road, Pensacola.
Sale price before tag, tax title, and associated dealer fees. Special APR rate for qualifying credit through VCI.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Need urgent care or a walk-in clinic? Go to ProHealth. Post-accident physical to access your PIP money? Go to ProHealth. Drug test? DNA testing? Go to ProHealthFL.com. Affordable lab work or primary care? Go to ProHealth. An affordable Ozempic medical weight loss program? ProHealth is your answer. Does your child need a camp or a sports physical? Only $40 at ProHealth. ProHealth never requires a doctor's order or an appointment. Just walk right in one of their seven locations. Also at ProHealthFL.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
News Radio Pensacola has a team of experienced and award-winning journalists dedicated to bringing you the most accurate and up-to-date news coverage. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
$3.59. The Florida average is $3.47. Mississippi has $2.99. California has $4.89. If you're in Navarre this morning, $3.13 east and west of the Walmart. $3.19 if you're going 87 way, so don't do it that way. $3.09 at the foot of the Garson Point Bridge. $3.27 in Gulf Breeze proper. In Milton, $3.09 at the CEFCO. Same at the P Ridge Murphy. $3.15 through Pace in Pensacola on 9 Mile. $3.13 at the Walmart Neighborhood Market. $3.08 down the road at the Murphy in front of the US 29 Walmart. And then coming in from the southwest side, 313 is your best at the Navy Murphy. These gas prices are brought to you by Pete Moore, Pete Moore Volkswagen, with the lowest out-the-door price on your next new Volkswagen, PeteMooreImports.com. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Good news is we're not showing any slowdowns or delays. Taking a look over by University Town Center, not showing any issues there. We see one road closure, of course, Longleaf. It says now closed until June 17th, and certainly we'll be watching this as they repair that bridge over by George Stone. Certainly, if you have a traffic tip, text it in, 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Now, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Authorities in Philadelphia say they've recovered a body on I-95 where that tanker caught on fire on Sunday morning that led to the collapse of a portion of the interstate. Detectives have not released the victim's identity. Governor Josh Shapiro has declared an emergency with the goal of accelerating repairs to I-95. Illinois' governor yesterday signing a bill prohibiting libraries in the state from banning books. During a ceremony, Democrat Governor J.B. Pritzker said that that will allow Illinois' Secretary of State's office to deny grant funding for libraries that ban books for partisan or doctrinal reasons. And 24 U.S. service members have been injured after a helicopter accident in Syria. The military didn't provide a lot of details about the incident, but said 10 of the 22 injured were sent to medical facilities outside of the region. They also say no enemy fire was involved.
What branch?
It doesn't say.
Okay. All right. So obviously, if they're if it's Navy or Marines that came through here, Whiting, train them. If it's Army, we obviously still care, or Air Force, obviously we still care quite a bit. But, you know, just for us, the branch is going to matter eventually. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 6:59 on News Radio 92.3, a very quick future news. Trump, of course, is going to appear in court today. Candy, what is Trump's plea going to be? Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty.
Yeah, 100% not guilty. Guaranteed. Will he smile in his mugshot?
There's not going to be a mugshot.
There will be a mugshot.
No, there's not.
Yeah.
Yes, he will.
I think
but
he will, too.
You really think
he'll
so?
He'll smirk. Yeah,
he
I think he'll smirk
they
at it.
Do that, too.
No, they will.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3.